back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. You're in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I got you for the next 2 hours or so here. It's great to be back with you this evening. I am excited, to say the least. I'm excited this evening. It's perfect timing for me to have 2 hours to just go off, strap in. It's going to be a crazy ride. It's already starting off crazy this evening. Got 4 minutes there. I'm looking at my show clock. My prompter right in front of me is down. It just tells me the time and shows me what's going on the show. I usually do 2 hours, no notes, no script. And we're going to do the same thing this evening. I'm just going to talk this evening. We have a crisis of culture so troubling. I'm going to do us a service this evening. I'm going to talk about some things, and people may not take to it either. And that's just fine. That's just fine. Because there are some things that we just need to get out in the open, need to get out on the table. The conservative movement, charged with the duty of saving this great republic, not by happenstance, in my opinion. It's providential. But there are a lot of sacred cows, a lot of things in the conservative culture that have just been left unattended. Yeah. And I'll start off with this opening gambit. People aren't going to like this right away. You'll say, what are you even talking about? But I have to go here. You know, a lot of things have carried over from 2020. And in 2020, after George Floyd died, I organized these peaceful demonstrations, these peaceful protests, because our city here, Minneapolis, was on fire. And for those of us who grew up in Minneapolis, we didn't quite recognize the Antifa black masked marauders who showed up to the front lines of injustice. And we certainly didn't condone burning down local neighborhood businesses like an AutoZone or a bodega. On the East Coast, they call it a bodega. Here, we just call it a corner store. We certainly didn't condone those kind of things. I didn't condone those kind of things. So I brought together a group of my friends, fellow athletes, basketball players, young black men, to say we have to stand up and be an example of if people want to protest, they have a grievance. Good. It's their American rights. Freedom of speech, the right to assembly and protest is a cornerstone of this country. But to do it peacefully, or to allow these individuals who won't even show their face lead our community is wrong and dangerous. And it doesn't represent how we grew up and what we really think, people who really live in the community that's being blasted across television. So we did that. And I helped organize those protests. And infamously, we started at U.S. Bank Stadium, which is one of the governing banks, one of the board of governors on the Federal Reserve for the Fed. We started at U.S. Bank Stadium, which is paid for by Minnesota tax dollars, and we would end at the Federal Reserve, which is probably the most important issue and institution in the entire country. And time after time, we seem to skip over how the money works. I've always said since my days on Jason Whitlock, they pit black versus white to make off with the green. And a lot of people are helping them do that, by the way. We got 48 seconds here. I'm going to get this cleared up in the break so I don't have to keep looking. But we're going to talk about this 2020 situation, COVID, BLM, George Floyd, policing and citizens, tyranny versus freedom and patriotism. We're also going to talk about Colin Kaepernick, bringing that name back up for a reason. And I'll talk more about it on the other side of the break. It's going to be an action-packed Sunday night. I'm so excited to be here because we're going to get down to the bone of a lot of issues this evening, and hopefully by the end, you, if nothing else, you say, wow, at least that guy's being honest and is picking apart issues with great detail. So we'll be right back in a brief moment. Stay tuned. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. We'll be right back.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it, Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it, Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your guest host, Royce White. And we're going to get down to the gristle tonight. We're going right down to the bone and the gristle, and we're going to pull apart some things that are going to make people very uncomfortable. And that's exactly what Alex Jones and InfoWars has done for years, on the cutting edge of the conversation and trying to diagnose culture and give people a good vantage of the multitude of information wars happening simultaneously. I'm going to attempt to venture into a similar orbit this evening. And on the other side of the break, I started to talk about 2020. And me leading these peaceful protests, of which I was able to organize tens of thousands of people. And we went to the front door of the Federal Reserve here in Minneapolis. We have the distinct privilege of having a Minneapolis Federal Reserve, bank. There are only 12 in the entire country. And I tell people all the time, the Minneapolis Federal Reserve is the most exclusive building in the state of Minnesota. And most people don't even know where it is or, you know, what it does, let alone how influential it is all across the country. And that says a lot in and of itself. I mean, right on Hennepin Avenue here in the city of Minneapolis, people drive by the Fed every day and they have no clue that it's even there, let alone what it does, how influential it is on their everyday life. And by the end of the 2 hours, we'll talk about war and inflation and how all of those things kind of come together if we get a chance. But anyway, in 2020, after George Floyd died, I was very, like many people in the country at the time, on face value, when the video first came out of George Floyd, George Floyd dying, I was very disturbed, but I was even more concerned of how viral the situation went and how quickly everybody chose sides. And then, you know, subsequently how we started to see our city burn down. And I had just moved back to Minnesota from Canada. I was living in Canada playing professional basketball, and I had seen Jordan Peterson go through a similar situation with Bill C-16 and how the politics had leaned so far left in Canada. But I guess, you know, in my young 20-year-old life, in my 20s, early 20s, playing basketball around the country and for different NBA teams and things like that, and then going to live in Canada to play, I guess I wasn't tracking BLM locally, in Minnesota. So I didn't even really understand the totality of what BLM was really trying to do. It was actually trying to do. And all I could see is that BLM, as well as many other mainstream media institutions, were telling a story that didn't add up. It wasn't logical. It didn't seem genuine. And it wasn't to the interest of the people who lived in the communities they said they were trying to protect or help prosper. And George Floyd ended up being a very similar situation. And so I did what I thought good leaders should do. I went straight to the front lines and organized peaceful demonstrations, said, hey, if people want to protest and have a grievance, fine. But if I'm going to lead, I'm going to try and educate people on real issues. Not about cops. We never had a protest or demonstration outside of the first precinct in downtown Minneapolis one time over the course of several demonstrations. Every last one of them went from U.S. Bank Stadium, where the Minnesota Vikings play, home to the Minnesota Vikings, to the front door of the Federal Reserve. And every time we talked about corporatocracy, and every time I pointed out that Colin Kaepernick represented a sort of fortune telling that the right is still not willing to acknowledge. And I'm going to talk about it here tonight because I think a lot of these things are still hanging out there, you know, because we've lost the ability or the willingness in our culture to rigorously and detailed in a detailed and let's just say an honest way. Mostly the problem is we're too dishonest and disingenuous to go through these things in great detail, but we've left these stones unturned and these iconicized, symbolic, cultural moments that kind of just hang out there and they're used and weaponized against us as soon as the establishment feels that the people are getting close to returning the power to the rightful place. Let's start with Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick was dead wrong about police, but he was 1,000% right about the NFL. Mull that over for a second. Colin Kaepernick was dead wrong about police, but he was spot on about the NFL. Royce, what do you mean? Well, obviously, to say all police are bad, racist, or pigs, or that law enforcement in general is nothing more than a byproduct of racism and white supremacy, which America represents writ large, is a ridiculous notion. It's a ridiculous idea. And that fizzled out, as it should have, over the last 6 years since George Floyd died. And you could go all the way back to 2012 with Trayvon Martin. That idea that we should make a categorical claim about police, for the most part, fizzled out. ICE kind of recharged that sentiment, took it to a different level, in a sense, or it took it to a different vector. But it's the same sentiment, you know, that policing or immigration enforcement are all just byproduct of a racist white America, and therefore all of them categorically are delegitimized or illegitimate. That's dumb. Any common sense, reasonable person, you may have been brainwashed by the woo-woo in the initial, and there may be some legitimate grievances about police officers and law enforcement. I'm going to talk about that in a moment because that's another sacred cow of the conservative movement. But mostly, for the most part, people caught wind of the idea that the police should be defunded and all police are bad, and they rejected it. The American public rejected it. But Colin Kaepernick didn't just make a comment about policing. He also made a comment. He was making a comment about the NFL and the symbolism of their ceremonies. Their symbolism and their ceremonies. And ex post facto, when you look back at it, who could look at the NFL? Who could watch what the NFL has become? Who could see what the NFL has become and watch what the NFL is today and not say, or let's say that the NFL loves this country? From the right. I know that he was making a criticism from the left, but let's talk about it from the right. Who amongst us on the right today would look at the NFL and say the NFL loves America? The NFL stands for the fundamental values and freedoms and liberties of this country. The NFL is deeply concerned about the future, the survival of America as we believe it should be. Raise your hand out there in the audience. I can't see in the audience, but if you're in the chat or you're watching live, drop it in the live chat. Who out there believes that the NFL genuinely represents an institution that loves this country, that is patriotic and loyal to America? They're not. We all know they're not. And it's a microcosm of a much more important problem. Is that professional sports as a whole is a watering hole for a global corporate community. And the entire global corporate community has abandoned the value of America and American freedom, America's fundamental ideals. The entire global corporate community, reflected in the watering hole of professional sports, American professional sports or global professional sports, has abandoned the fundamental values of our country, of America. America is a pariah. America's values are a pariah amongst the global corporate community. I'll say it again. America's fundamental values, of freedom and liberty and an authority higher than the government, or that money isn't the most important thing, is a pariah idea for the global corporate community. Hence, when we say the global corporate community, it's just another way to say the globalist agenda. The globalist agenda and the globalists that oversee that agenda, who push that agenda. NFL's no different. The NFL is no different. We see who their sponsors are. We see the verticals of the economic partnerships and the collaborations and the messaging and the Bad Bunnies. And the Super Bowl show didn't end up being as homosexual as people had thought. But that's not really the point. The point is that the NFL, like many other corporations all across this country, have conceded to far left-leaning propaganda. The NFL's no different. The only thing that makes the NFL different is that their audience is made up of middle white American, deplorable, as Hillary Clinton would call us, Bible Belt viewer. And so they have always tried to cater to, as best they could, they have to try and cater to that demographic. They have no interest in that demographic. They don't care about that demographic. Their politics, as far as the money and the partnerships and the overall agenda of media or entertainment or football taken away from people going to church on Sundays, even Budweiser and the other vices like gambling that are promoted on during the halftime or the commercials during football on Sundays, none of that is in alignment with the demographic of the middle white American Bible Belt base, viewer base. None of it is in alignment. It's all misaligned. But if they can play the national anthem and they can bring out the honor guard and they can fly F-16s or F-32s over the Super Bowl, they believe in this country. They're patriotic. I mean, if we're that gullible, we deserve to die. If we're so gullible that the standard of patriotism is to sing the anthem, bring out the honor guard, and fly F-16s, fighter jets, over the Super Bowl, if that's our standard of patriotism, it makes sense how we lost our country. It makes perfect sense how we lost this country to communists and Satanists. And I'm here to make that point today. Colin Kaepernick, and sometimes people have an intuition about things they're not yet ready to fully articulate. And Colin Kaepernick, like so many young men and young black men or young athletes, come from inside an institution that has shaped and warped their mind to believe that communism is the natural answer to capitalism. And nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, there's a deeper view of capitalism versus communism that I'm going to talk about over the course of the show. You get to a certain level, capitalism and communism are more or less the same. We'll talk about that later on. But a lot of these young black men like Colin Kaepernick were brainwashed because you left your public schools to the Marxists. If you go to a public school inside the metropolitan area, you become a Marxist. If you go to university, even the Catholic universities, even the conservative universities, even the law schools, you become a Marxist. If you go to the corporate world, by osmosis, you become a Marxist. So while I adamantly disagree with Colin Kaepernick's fundamental philosophy and his prescription for the problems in this country, I'm also honest enough and genuine enough, I have enough intellectual integrity and honesty to say he was dead right. He was dead spot on about the NFL. They're fake as a $3 bill. Their politics are chameleonic. They're fake as it gets. And the reason why they're allowed to continue being fake and us not address that issue is because it serves a greater purpose for the division. It serves a greater purpose if when Colin Kaepernick's name comes up, even right now, I'm sure there are people in the comments say, oh, Colin Kaepernick, he's defending him. No, I'm not defending him. I'm just telling people there are these symbolic and iconicized cultural moments that are still being used to keep us divided from the result we say we want from electoral politics or even deeper in the sort of spiritual connection of our American community. There are these roadblocks. There are these impediments. And let's just talk about it the way it is. The patented move is to make everything about race. We can make it about race. We make it about religion. We can make it about everything other than what's true, what's real. And that is that American citizens crave tyranny. We talk about freedom, but deep down, we crave tyranny. Tyranny is easy. Aristotle said it in the fifth book of Politics. He says, women and slaves love tyrants because life gets easy under tyrants. Women will tell on their husbands and their slaves, their masters. And guess what? By the new economic system, we're all wage slaves. So I guess Aristotle's analysis would apply to most of us. We love tyranny. We love tyrants. Let's keep it real. See, and let's take an accounting. I'm going to go back to Colin Kaepernick in a moment, but in the NFL in a moment. But I'm pretty much already done with the whole Colin Kaepernick NFL piece of it. It is what it is. Colin Kaepernick was wrong about the police. His prescription to the problems in this country, being communist or being Marxist or socialist or egalitarian or, you know, BLM, for God's sakes, never in 1,000 years. And a lot of black people rebuffed BLM. That's how the fraud was uncovered, is because a lot of black people were in those organizations blowing the whistle, maybe sometimes in silence, but still thoroughly saying these people aren't who they say they are. These people aren't actually trying to do things for the black community. That helped President Trump as the years have gone on. And fights like that started right there in the streets in 2020 after George Floyd died, when I would organize a protest to the Fed and some of your white liberal pink, blue, purple-haired, green-haired, young liberal women would say, why are we at the Fed? What is this even about? And it's so interesting that the natural intuition of your average left-leaning citizen doesn't want to talk about the economics, doesn't want to talk about the way the money works. It's not by accident. I don't think it's coordinated. I think it's more spiritual. I think it's more supernatural in its coordination than it is political. I don't think BLM and George Soros are sending out a nationwide memo in the back channels of the, you know, the message boards for BLM and saying, hey, if they go to any financial institutions, rebuff. We don't need people looking at the, you know, we don't need people taking a fine tooth, you know, a fine tooth accounting to the money, to the Ponzi scheme. We don't need that. We want to keep it about the culture wedge issues. We want to keep playing identity politics. As soon as you start talking about money and the way that the economics work, we have now left the realm of politics or race, and we've entered into the discussion of class, and a ruling class versus a peasant class, a class of plebes, deplorables, or, you know, as they would say, serfs, modern day Russian serfs. We don't want the conversation going there. We don't need it going there. Colin Kaepernick was wrong about police, but he was right about the NFL. And by way of, he was right about the entire panoply of American professional sports institutions and all of their corporate partners who work for the Fed, more or less. All of them get their working capital to keep the lights on and pay the janitors and so on and so forth. They work for the Fed. And the Fed is partners with the military-industrial complex because the military-industrial complex is the strong arm of the money, of the bankers. You see how that works? Did I spell it out, you know, clear enough? That's how the game works. We all know how the game works. The reason we don't rebel strongly, and we don't have a strong rebellion, I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But the reason we don't rebel is because we're busy taking the benefits. Nobody wants to admit it. Everybody's taking the benefits. Everybody's on the teat. Everybody's on the teat. That's why we don't change it. We're on the teat. We like it. We crave tyranny. We crave subjugation. If it's going to benefit us, if it makes life more convenient, I say every Saturday morning, convenience will be the death of freedom. Of course, we're going to get an artificial intelligence overlord, a technocratic tyrant. Of course, that's going to happen because it will make things radically convenient in the short term. We see it as clear as day, and we're not stopping. And you have to ask yourself, look in the mirror and go, why aren't we stopping this? Why aren't our elected officials stopping it? Why don't we have a strong protest against it? See, when I brought people to the Fed and I said, the way the money works is the real problem. What I was really saying is the way the money provides convenience that you'll trade your freedom and liberty for is the problem. And it's you Democrats and leftists just as much as it's the military-industrial complex. And let's just take an accounting of the conservative movement for a moment. I just want to talk about the contradiction, because contradiction is what we have to root out of this conservative movement if we have any chance of saving this country. And I mean any chance whatsoever. I'm done with this game. This is nonsensical. And people who have reason, who are rational, who are genuine, who really want to save this country, I know you all are fed up as well. Thank you for sticking with me and listening to this, which I have to do for the people who aren't. I'm giving them a scolding, and we're going to do it here. If it doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to you. Okay. God bless you. But let's take an accounting of the conservative movement for a moment. We say we're patriots. We say we're 1776 hardcore patriots, and we're willing to fight against a tyrannical government. That's why we hold up our First Amendment and Second Amendment rights at all times. We're willing to defend our constitutional rights against a tyrannical government, against tyrants who take office, who take control of our country. We're willing to fight. But we won't even challenge a local cop. Yeah. No, the default position on Fox News is that if a cop tells you to do something, you just do it. Doesn't matter if it's constitutional or lawful. Doesn't matter if it infringes upon your legal rights. Doesn't matter what the case is. If a cop, what has come from the BLM saga is a split down the middle of this country where one side says all police are racist and the other side, our side, seemingly says whatever a cop tells you to do, just do it. Just listen. Does that include taking a vaccine? Does that include, spying or ratting out, setting up a snitch line during COVID like Tim Walz did here in Minnesota? Does that include, telling on people who are praying at some point? Because that'll be the next iteration. And they'll definitely commission the cops to do that. Understand, if the Democrats take this government back, which it looks like they will, the cops will be used for a very different purpose. And then how do we feel about our thin blue line? Is our thin blue line only a thin blue line if President Trump is in office, or is it a thin blue line no matter who's in office? And if the cops are willing to do the bidding of a communist traitor like Joe Biden, are we still willing to shut up and take it? You mull that over. You ask yourself that fundamental question, because it's coming to that point. As sure as the sun will rise, as sure as the turning of the earth, if the communists take back control, the law enforcement officers all across this country will have an opportunity to stand up against tyranny, against what they know is wrong, or they can concede and take the vaccine. And 80% of them took the vaccine. We're just getting started here this evening. I told you I was fired up, and it's only going to get crazier as the 2 hours goes on. I'm Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're watching InfoWars, Sunday Night Live, The Alex Jones Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment. Much more to come.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancer is from parasites. It's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I went and did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvisjonesshow.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvisjonesshow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvisjonesshow.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvisjonesshow.com, and I thank you for your support.
InfoWars.com Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you got me for the next hour and a half. We're crushing some sacred cows in the conservative movement. On the brink of global technocracy and, let's call it a digital currency serfdom. Maybe that's the right way to frame it. But how do we get there, right? How are we going to be marshaled into this? And it's obvious, and we all know the answer is divide and conquer. How can we divide people? Oh, it's become so easy. It's become so easy. How do you split the Christian nationalist, battery of the MAGA movement, of President Trump's world-changing MAGA movement? How do you crush a movement with that much momentum? You have to find the source. What is the source? What is the source of the power? It's Christian nationalism. Well, how do you split the Christian nationalist movement? How do you drive a wedge and a divide in the Christian nationalist movement? Well, you prop up Israel as the most important fundamental issue for the Christians. That's what it is, guys. Very easy. It's got very little to do with the Jews or Israel. When it's all said and done, yes, I mean, they are the chip that has been thrown down, but the real goal is to continue to divide the American populace so that we can't rally a resistance against the real enemy on the horizon, which, to be quite honest with you, isn't the Jews or Israel. Oh, no, they may play a role and a significant role, I might add. But the real enemy is that you will trade your freedom for security. You will trade your freedom willingly for security and convenience. That's the real enemy. The real enemy is you. You. You're the enemy. The enemy within is me. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas put it so beautifully. He says that peace is not merely the absence of external conflict. It's the tranquility of order. And that order has a hierarchical nature. That passion must be submitted to reason and reason must be submitted to God. That when a man submits his passions to his reason and his reason to God, he can have peace within himself and then he can foster peace with others. And we're not to suppress our passions. We're to rightly order our passions. And some may make the argument that my passion tonight on this show is wrongly ordered, but I assure you, it isn't. It isn't. The conservative movement, let's go back to it. We say we're 1776 patriots. We hold up our inalienable God-given rights, and we would defend them using our First and Second Amendment against all challengers, foreign or domestic. But we can't even bring ourselves to challenge your average police officer. Because the left has staked out a position where they're so anti-cop, anti-law enforcement, we will bend over and touch our toes for any cop from Los Angeles to New York City. Whether it be Republican, a Democrat in power, or the president, you know, as president or the House or the Senate or whatever the case may be, whether we're under COVID mandates from a foreign authority called the World Health Organization and you have cops in New York City going door to door or person to person asking for people's vaccination papers and we're supposed to respect these people? No, ask yourself, when is the proper time and place to disobey law enforcement? Because you may need to in the very near future. And again, I don't say that to castigate or categorize all police as bad. My great-grandfather was one of the first 7 black police officers to walk a beat in our capital city of St. Paul, Minnesota in the early 1900s when he had my grandmother. He was already 55 years old. Tells you the type of guy he was. I mean, this dude had juice, right? He had vigor. He was a man. He's one of the first 7 black police officers to walk a beat on Summit Avenue in our capital city of St. Paul. So I'm not against the police in principle. Not even close. I think we should overhaul the funding for the police, in fact. Defund the police was a crazy idea, but the notion that we should always shut up and take the direction of the police is categorically anti-American and anti-conservative, who staked out the 1776 cosplay. And that's what it is. If you're willing to listen to any law enforcement officer or agency, including the FBI or the corrupt CIA, you're not a patriot. You're a cuck. You're a cuck-servative. Let's march on down the row here. Oh, this is going to get fun tonight. And I got 2 hours. It might be the last time I do it for us. They might call Alex and go, this Negro you had on Sunday night is off his rocker and he's unhinged. You got to separate yourself from him. I know Alex won't do that because he's my guy and he's a real truth teller. He's going to feel what I'm saying. This is the underlying, this is the buried lead in the conservative movement. Start off with the 1776, the fundamentals of American patriotism, the First and Second Amendment, you will allow violated by a thin blue line. A lot of conservatives. Why? Because you like the security of thinking you can pick up the phone and call 911 if you're in trouble instead of having a gun that you know how to use and have enough ammunition for. You're your first line of defense. You are your own first line of defense. That's the way our founding fathers intended it to be. And that's what it has to return to, or else I guarantee you we will fall under the rule of dystopian tyrants. It's coming. And the scary part is when that day comes, your guns may not even matter. Because, I mean, hell, you could shoot down a drone and they can just send another one. The drones won't get tired. You will. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Let's walk on down the ladder. If you believe that Christianity is the fundamental of conservatism of the, and remind you now, I say this all, I'm only going through this so we can sort out the contradiction. Not to say yay or nay to any of the ideas or the pillars. In fact, I believe in the pillars like the 1776 sentiment or Christianity being a pillar of the conservative movement. I'm not so sure everybody else does, and I'm going to tell you why. If you believe Christianity is one of the pillars of the conservative movement, you tell me how we're going to play fast and loose with pro-life or, let's say, homosexuality. We're fast and loose on the homosexual principle of Christian ethics and theology, or we're fast and loose with the pro-life principle of Christian ethics. We're fast and loose even with the marriage principle of Christian ethics, even in our courts, which have reamed the institution of marriage from any Christian vantage. So we're fast and loose on all of those things in the conservative movement, but we're going to use our Christian faith as justification to continue funding the military industrial complex and going to these wars all around the world. Contradiction. See, it bothers me as a Catholic, and you can say I'm a Duganist, or you can say I'm a part of the Flynn Network, or I don't know. I don't even know where people are going with some of this stuff, but let's just talk about the facts, the fundamentals. Please, I invite anybody to debate me on any of these issues, anytime, any place, any set of rules. Please, I'm happy to do it. Maybe it's just because I'm a Catholic, but it really bothers me for people to use the Christian faith, to use the cloth of Christ as a justification in one area of their conservative identity, while they abnegate the same principles and ethics in all the other important areas. Like, for example, and I'm just going to throw this out there. How many homosexuals is Fox News going to roll out? How many homosexuals, and this is not, and I'm not saying, again, it's not a judge. I'm not God. I'm not Christ. I don't have the ability to judge you in the eternal. I have the ability to call the balls and strikes for myself personally in the immediate. And as an American citizen, from a more libertarian lens, you have the right to do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to say the government should be able to control if you dress up like a woman on the weekends. I'm not going to say who you should be sleeping with. I'm not going to say how you identify. Those things are up to you to decide. The question obviously becomes, should we allow it in the school and should we allow it forced on our kids? Of course not. Should we allow women to be subjugated to it in the prisons? Of course not. Those things are simple, but I mean on principle. Because see, the conservative movement wants to talk about things on a principled basis. Well, in principle, how many homosexuals are you all going to roll out? How many Scott Presslers are hiding in there? And I like Scott. I like the work that he's doing. I think it's necessary. And it's a damn shame that he's the only one who's willing to do it. That says something about the conservative movement in and of itself. But it also does speak to the Christian ethic we say we're trying to uphold when the number one person for the most important civic duty of American citizens is a flaming homosexual. I mean, a blowout hair, flaming, feminine, effeminate man who is obviously and blatantly homosexual. And we just parade him around like he's the mascot of the most important fundamental civic duty we have. It's almost like the deep state and the CIA is trying to. And it's not about Scott. They're mocking you. They're mocking you. They're saying, are you really going to try and pretend that this is about Christianity? No, it isn't. You'll follow a homosexual right into early voting. you'll early vote your way to a rigged election if we put a flaming homosexual out there. Why? Because you're just as susceptible to identity politics as the left. Like I said 2 weeks ago, you know your enemies, you respect your enemies. You don't define yourself by your enemies or you become your own worst enemy. You lose yourself, a piece of yourself, the constitution within yourself when you define yourself by your enemies, which is one of the fundamental modalities of war. The fundamental modality of war is that it places a premium for the art of deception, on the art of deception. And if you become a master in the art of deception, how can you truly be a great Christian? And sometimes you have to go to war, but you should be slow to go to war, because if you become too much of a master in the art of deception, you will lose a piece of your soul. You can't lie everywhere and always, like our global dollar empire and military industrial complex has become accustomed and acculturated us in, and then say that we're a Christian country. We can't lie all over the world, here, there, everywhere, and then say, but we're doing it because we're Christian. Uh-uh. That doesn't work. The great Alex Jones has joined us from his vehicle. Good evening, sir.
Well, Royce, you know I'm a big fan of yours, and so is General Flynn and everybody else. So I'm driving down the road 5 minutes going out here. I know I'm going to get kicked off InfoWars now for saying this. That's mild, saying we shouldn't just worship the police. Obviously, this whole thing with the left attacking the police, defunding them, doesn't mean if the police can be used by the globalists for tyranny. The police will tell you that.
Yes.
So, no, there's nobody giving me
I was joking.
No, brother. No, but listen.
I know you were joking. Your heart is granite.
But back when the Democrats were training the police for gun confiscation and martial law, and the military was being trained, it was the police. The military came to me 30 years ago, 25 years ago. I made all those police state films. It was them telling me. They were the ones that didn't want to be part of it. So on average, they're good. But absolutely, if the left is controlled, they will control it. And we need to absolutely not just bow down to any authority, but the Constitution, the Bill of Rights that God gave us. And so that's where we're at. But the good news is people are waking up.
Alex, do you think on the right, and you hear what I'm saying, some of these sacred cows that we have as the pillars of our conservative culture make us susceptible to, for example, rule of law. And I think you're a great example where the rule of law that they used against you in this lawsuit to try and take InfoWars out is a primary example that the rule of law cannot be adhered to in any and all cases. It actually becomes a Trojan horse against us for conservatives to say, rule of law at all costs. Don't challenge the police. Don't challenge the courts. I think President Trump should arrest Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice Roberts for these people are traitors. And we just dance around it because we're afraid. We don't want the tyranny to come down on us. But the Senate, Thune, I think he should be arrested. I think any senator that withholds secure elections from the American people is a traitor.
They should be arrested. We're in a constitutional crisis.
Yes.
You're right. We're in a constitutional crisis. We have Article III courts that are operating outside the law, and we have a seized government. About 80% of it's controlled. On average, though, the cops are the least corrupt group of them all, because they're just average people. But absolutely, we shouldn't worship them or just follow whatever orders they say. It's all about what's common sense. And, about being mobilized in general to deal with that. But regardless of where Trump goes or if Trump goes sideways, the populist movement's exploding. We're winning. And last week's show was so powerful. I watched the whole thing. I got off air, wrote some headlines, but watched most of you. I'm driving home right now. Royce, you're doing a great job. And it's so important what you're saying. And we're just in a historical moment right now. So I just wanted to call in and say I appreciate you. And, it's all coming out. Nothing hidden will remain hidden, as the Bible says. So I appreciate you, brother. I'm going to keep watching. I just want to say, that's mild. I said to September 9/11 that Israel and Larry Silverstein blew up the World Trade Center, which has now all come out. So criticizing the police and saying, just as we're not anti-police or we're not communists, doesn't mean we don't recognize that many jurisdictions, they control the police. I mean, here in Austin, Texas, illegal aliens will kill people to get away with it. And the police will throw the book at you if you're conservative or if you're some, army sergeant driving a Uber or a Lyft.
Right.
People point guns at you, defend yourself, and go to prison. So but there's a real fight over the enforcement systems. And in general, we understand the left tried to take down the police to intimidate them, to make them submit to them. In general, the police didn't submit. So that's a good sign. But we need to also let the police know and the public know we're going to follow legal orders for forced injections or lockdowns or national drafts or any of this tyranny. So, Royce, I'm going to turn the baton back over to you. I'm going to call and let you know I'm watching. God bless you and good luck.
Thank you, brother. God bless you, sir. You guys know I have such great respect for Alex. I was completely joking. I know Alex wouldn't call me and say, you're going too far. He never does. Never says anything about what I'm saying on the show, actually, which is a great thing. And I'm honored and blessed to be able to do this every Sunday or whenever I get the chance. Alex Jones is OG. He's a legend. But even Alex, it's par for what I was saying. The cultural narrative is so distorted. It's exactly what Yuri Benzimov said about ideological subversion. We can't stake out a position anymore without the immediate conflict and sort of we're just ankle biting each other. And don't get me wrong, there are certain issues we have to sort out, and we're going to talk about this Israel and Iran war and that whole debacle as we go through the show. But still, I'm going down the line of this conservative movement because we have to sort out these contradictions. First, the 1776 patriotic fundamentals have to be observed and remembered and honored more than ever. We cannot blindly follow law enforcement. The less prescription that we should defund the police, stupid. We all know that. But we have to do a temperature check of our own on the right, constitutional patriots, our own willingness to go along with the rule of law and law enforcement in times of tyrannical rule, which we have now firmly crossed over into. I mean, we are there. We're right there. The Christianity piece. If Christian ethic is really going to be an ethic of this conservative movement, then let it be the ethic. But if it's not, then it's not. Then we have to find another position. Then we have to evolve and come up with something that's actually tangible that the people can relate to, they can get in touch with. Because when you contradict yourself at that level blatantly, like for example, we say we have a problem with the LGBTQ, but then our voting initiative leader, Point Man, is a flaming homosexual, and it's not about him. You have to understand, if Scott, you're out there listening, I don't care what you do, brother, and I'm not the judge. But what is our message? What is our platform? What are the pillars? What do we believe in? What are the values? And if you can't uphold those values across the board, you should be slow to bring those values to the court of public opinion, because it just undermines your position. Last and final thing, and I'll give you this example to bring Colin Kaepernick back into focus. He was wrong about the cops. He was right about the NFL. He was right about the corporatocracy. He was right about the hypocrisy of the global corporate community and the globalist agenda. Sometimes people have an intuition that they're not yet ready to fully articulate, and they may never be ready to fully articulate. It doesn't mean that the intuition was wrong. And I think some of that's true about President Trump as well. His intuition, his political intuition, was profound. Doesn't mean he's going to get it right all the time. Doesn't mean that he's not going to make mistakes. Doesn't mean that he's going to be perfect. No man will be perfect. King David is the example. He's a man after the Lord's own heart. He wasn't perfect. He was far from it. But he is still firmly in the kingdom of heaven, and he was chosen and had divine appointment. Doesn't mean he can't make mistakes. Last and final thing, contradiction. We would rather... And I'll take Minnesota, for example. Let's use Fox News as an example. We would rather have a Michelle Tafoya, who was a sideline reporter for the mouthpiece and propaganda arm, professional sports, NFL, for the global corporate community and the globalist agenda, than somebody who once organized a peaceful protest in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, to teach the Marxist brainwashed liberals in the belly of the beast about the economic Ponzi scheme and the Fed. You know what we're saying? We're saying, give us the money. We want the money. It's about the money. We're saying we will be ruled by money. Let me make this very clear. Our duty as conservatives is to hold the principle and move people toward the principle. Hold the principle, move people toward the principle. Now, there are people who were closer to the principle and are now moving away from it. We want all the RFKs we can get. We want all the Tulsi Gabbards. We'll take the Scott Presslers. We want them to move closer to the principle. We're not saying that we're trying to create a smaller tent. We're actually trying to create a bigger tent, but we have to shave off some of these cultural contradictions that we prop up as our platform for our own grandiosity, for our own self-aggrandizement. Let's just talk about things the way they really are. And this was the beating heart of the MAGA movement. This was the rise of President Trump, the nationalist populist movement, like Alex Jones just said. The rise of the populist movement is that the people are being screwed. No matter how you slice it, no matter which angle you come at this situation from, the people are getting the short end of the stick, the very short end of the stick. They're getting a raw deal. The people are being broken. The people are being crushed under the boot of this globalist agenda. Now, the people on the left may not call it the globalist agenda. They may not see it the way that we see it. They may not see it from a broader lens, all of them. But I'll tell you this, if you're dumb enough to believe everybody who's out there protesting ICE, or everybody who was out there when George Floyd died, or everybody who has been a part of some public demonstration on the left actually believes in the animating philosophy of communism or BLM, or is paid and organized, you're dumb and you deserve to die. That means you watch too much Fox News. If you really believe everybody who you see out there with a BLM t-shirt or an anti-ICE t-shirt actually understands the animating philosophy of the far left or communism, or even more broadly, the globalist agenda, who's using that movement like a puppet. If you really believe that, you're so dumb, as Alex once eloquently put it, one of my favorite, you know, Alex Jones clips is, if you're going to let a 250-pound man dressed up like a space demon get close to your child, there's nothing you won't put up with. This is a similar sort of thing, although not nearly as absurd, I would say. But it's similar. It's in the same vein. Because if you're dumb enough to believe that, then it's saying that you're more interested in the identity politics, the sort of tribal warfare of American politics, than you are winning or evangelizing. See, that's a very important point to make. On the right, we have the same crisis of being more interested in the identity politics than we are in winning or evangelizing. And the only way to really win is to evangelize, especially if you want to have a Christian country, which we don't have. We have a communist, satanic, pedophile country. Let's call it what it is. This ain't a Christian country. Stop it. Stop it. We have a globalist, satanic, pedophile, communist country. Not Christian. If we want to have a Christian country, again, and I do say again on purpose, if we want to have a Christian country again, the only way to win and win, seriously, really win, is to evangelize. But in order to evangelize, you have to be willing to go to the place that you least want to go. Like Christ went to the cross. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast. We had a call in from the man himself out there on the road doing the thing. We're happy to be here this evening. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned for much more Alex Jones Show.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, it's supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesshow.com, is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesshow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, We have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, TheAlexJonesStore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, the Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I'm just bringing it to you real and raw this Sunday evening. I'm so excited. I had people go after me in the last 24 hours and say, you marched with BLM. Let me be clear and real clear here this evening. I never marched with BLM, never been associated with them. They don't like black, heterosexual Catholic men. They despise us. BLM marched with me. That may be a hard concept for people to understand because the conservative movement has been so cowardly. Con Inc. and Fox News has turned the conservatives into cowards and cucks. For Israel, we'll talk about that in a moment. It just is what it is. I'm just telling you, we'll talk about that in a moment. But the conservative movement, Conservative Inc., Fox News has turned the conservatives into cowards and cucks for Israel. We'll talk about that in a moment. But see, you ask yourself, where were you in 2020 when the streets of Minneapolis started to burn and everywhere else across the country? Were you willing to go to the front line and preach the truth? Were you willing to lead? Were you willing to put yourself in harm's way? See, it's dangerous for a black Catholic heterosexual male to go to the front line in the heart of the George Floyd situation and say, we need to be talking about the money. And all of this black trans lives matters bullshit is a distraction. That takes courage. That's dangerous. And it was dangerous for me to do that. I actually had a lot of pushback. Now, me being 6'8", 275 pounds, trained in the martial arts, you know, not really afraid of a fight or a tussle, I didn't have the same sort of danger and conflict that many may run into for saying such things. But, you know, they do it in a different way. It's innuendo and sexual politics. It's the Me Too claims. And, you know, Royce White's a homophobe and a transphobe. And he's a COINTELPRO and he's working for the white supremacists. Then I ran to, you know, as a Republican and all of a sudden all of their theories were confirmed. I was a plant. You know, it's funny. The conservatives say I'm a plant. And then the liberals say I'm a plant. The far right wingers say I'm a plant, and then the far left wingers say I'm a plant. I think Alex Jones goes through a similar thing, and a lot of other people I see telling the truth, and it's not by accident. See, because we're being pincered now. We're being pincered by the propensity of people towards superficial politics with French fries. And it's much, much deeper than, should we let boys play in girls' sports? This is unacceptable. We can never let boys playing a duh. I mean, that's only ankle deep. No, what we can't do is be a global dollar empire, military industrial complex that doesn't even make its own lug nuts. That's what we can't do. Comparatively, we could actually allow a few weird looking dudes, a few low T guys, play a little kickball with the strongest and most brolic women. That's nothing. It does symbolize a cultural crisis, no doubt. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's not an issue or an absurdity. I'm saying that issues like that constantly distract us from the real corruption. And the real corruption is some, we all know what it is. We all know what it is, guys. Come on. How long are we going to do this? How long are we going to play this game? How long are we going to keep going, circling the wagons here? We know what the problem is. I'm going to talk about it for the entire next hour. You got me, Royce White, also known as the Hatchet Man, here in the Belly of the Beast, and the War Room Posse, I'm known as the Hatchet Man. Okay, I'm in the Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Alex Jones Show, Sunday night, InfoWars. Sunday Night Live here on InfoWars, and we're going to just keep plowing through this for the next hour. We had the great Alex Jones call in to the show already. What an honor. What an honor to be here with the with the Spiritually Alive InfoWars audience. I hope you're enjoying the show. I hope I haven't offended you. We're killing the sacred cows of the conservative movement so we can weed out the contradiction and become the tip of the spear to save this country. It's gut check time. We got to look in the mirror. Look in the mirror right now so we can defeat our enemies in the open battlefield. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com, and thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast. We're just going to jump straight into it. We're killing some sacred cows of the conservative movement, some conservative contradictions, so we can recoalesce to try and save this country. And we have to save this country. Yet we know the far left is our enemy. But there are some people on the left who we could evangelize to around reason and ration and pull them to our side. The evidence is in President Donald Trump's winning the 2024 election. The one thing President Trump's presidency represents, if nothing else, is an example that there are people who we would otherwise think we could find no common ground with that do see some common sense. There's still some common sense left in the cadre. Some people are saying, no, wait a second. This isn't right. Some of this doesn't add up. And some of them are still struggling. And some of them are going to come along quicker than others. And some of them are going to see the truth, see the common sense, have that split moment where they want to come to our side, but then the social pressure climbs too high. It gets to be too much, too heavy, and they run away. They scurry away. They go back to the left where it's safe. Or the right. Depends on how you look at it. See, and I guess in a way, my story is providential because, and I don't mean to pat myself on the back, but I can just call the balls and strikes. And part of what makes me capable of calling the balls and strikes is I don't care what anybody thinks. Honestly. I mean, I love to debate and I'll argue the opinions or the fundamentals of any given topic on any given day under any set of rules. But when it's all said and done, I don't give a shit what anybody thinks. I really don't. Certainly not about me personally. I mean, that's just like, come on. What are we talking about? I got people. I'll give you another example. Quick example here. It's people say, well, you know, you played, well, how are you qualified? You played basketball. It's a kid's game. That's a kid's game. You were getting paid millions of dollars to play a kid's game and you quit. No, I didn't quit because I couldn't perform the task or the duties. I didn't quit because I was afraid to fly. Although, I guess in retrospect, I've been vindicated in that area too, because the airlines are in a crisis every other week. Okay. It's a bunch of jerk offs flying, 6,000 pound aircrafts around in the air. They just ran a fire truck into the front of a plane. God rest the pilots. So I think two pilots died. But the point is, I mean, look at what's happened to the airline since I came out in 2012 and said, you know what? I'd rather drive to Chicago from Minneapolis than get on a private jet because I don't trust you jerk-offs. I don't trust you jerk-offs at the FAA. I don't trust you jerk-offs at the TSA. I don't trust you jerk-off pilots who took the vaccine. And I'm not talking about the pilots who lost their lives. I'm making a general statement about pilots because, you know, they're not perfect people either. Nobody's perfect. And if I had to choose a way to die, I'd rather get shot in front of a crowd professing my faith in the truth like Charlie Kirk, rather than take a nosedive out of the air with 250 other random jerk-offs in their final moments of terror. That's just me. That's my personal choice. If I'm going to die, let it be that I get shot right between the eyes before I die like that. But that's not why I didn't. That's not why I left the NBA. That's not why I was blackballed from the NBA. I was blackballed from the NBA because I spoke out of turn, like Kyrie Irving, who said, I don't want to take the vaccine, like so many others before me who spoke out of turn and got the lash. And who gave them the lash, by the way? Let's just go there this evening, because before some of you even knew what a Jewish lobby was, I was sat down in a back room by a Jewish lobby. Let's just call it what it is. The NBA and much of the professional sports teams, but predominantly the NBA, maybe more so than any other professional sports league, is run by a lot of Jewish men, a lot of Jewish business owners. And I was sat down in a room and they said, you know what, young man, you're too smart for your own good. You're right. You're right about the things you're saying. You're right that there's a mental health crisis. You're right that we as an institution could be the tip of the spear of prioritizing where the mind, body, and spirit converge into what we call the human condition. You're right. You're right. We are planning to use the susceptibility of the human psychology to push technocracy right into the homes of every American citizen and everybody else, every other free person all around the world at their own voluntary submission. We are going to use the human psychology as a pretense, as a pretext to create a technocratic one world government. And they knew it then. They knew it. You all didn't know it. I knew it. I could feel it. I had the intuition. I said to myself, how do you have a collective bargaining agreement here with all of these banned substances, but you don't have one mention of the medical conditions that coincide the use of said substances? Well, how does that make sense? Well, why is it that you don't want to talk about addiction or anxiety or depression or PTSD or any? Oh, well, of course we don't want to talk about those things. It's the business model. Anxiety, depression, PTSD, drug abuse, addiction is the business model. It's the business model of the entire global corporate community. What don't you people understand? What I fought against with the NBA, the reason I was blackballed is because I spoke out of turn. And a Jewish lobby in the NBA came to me and said, we can make you exactly who you want to be. You want to be a spokesperson for mental health? You want to go into politics one day? You want to be a trailblazer for social issues? We can make that happen, but you got to play along. You got to do what we say. You got to make yourself valuable to us. You got to be a fucking slave. And as a black man, I just reject the fundamental proposition. Fuck you, people. That's it. And see, that's what makes me perfect for this moment in American history, because the United States Senate has a crisis so profound of cowardly cucks. We need 300 Royce Whites, not to pat myself on the back, but I guarantee you, if we had 300 Royce Whites in the House and in the Senate, a lot of shit would be getting done right now. A lot of things would be getting done. And while I say that, I want to make this perfectly clear as well. It bothers me. So everything is the Jews. Everything is Israel. No, that's not properly ordered. That's not tempered. It's not properly tempered. But I can say that for the first time in what is unprecedented, that on Palm Sunday, the Catholics were not able to attend Mass there in Jerusalem. Unprecedented that the Catholics would not be able to attend Mass in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday has not happened since the Turks, since the Ottomans had control of the region. Hundreds of years it's been since the Catholics were not allowed to attend Mass on Palm Sunday. It can't be overstated the insult that Israel just dealt to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it continues. It continues on a day-by-day basis. I said this at a North Dakota GOP convention, and I'll say it again. It's not all the Jews. It's not all Israel. It's what we've allowed the Jews and Israel to represent in the narrative, and how we've been willing to concede and submit to that narrative for the benefits that we get. That's what's happened here. It's us. It's not them. It's us. And it's not just them. It's Europe. Europe should subsidize Israel. If the Gucci Bedouins have such a problem with the mullahs and the radical Islam throughout the region, they should weed it out. You send your sons and daughters. You send your Gucci Bedouin sons and daughters to fight on the front lines for the Strait of Hormuz. You Brits and you Italians and you Frenchmen and you Polacks and you Germans and whoever else across the European continent, you send your fucking sons and daughters to the Strait of Hormuz to fight for Israel. We don't want to do it. I'm comfortable saying that. You see my hat. I still support the president. You can support somebody and love somebody and not condone or agree with every single thing they do. In fact, one would say if you actually love somebody and support them and want them to do well, want them to succeed, want them not to get fucking impeached on the other side of the 2026 midterms by the same radical Democrat leader, Hakeem Jeffries, who shares a under the table circle jerk with Tom Emmer and the rest of the Republicans who are on the AIPAC landing page. They're all palsies when it comes to Israel. They're not going to hesitate. AIPAC's not going to call Hakeem Jeffries and say, if you impeach President Trump, we will pull all your funding. When you really love and support somebody, you tell them tough things that are uncomfortable sometimes, and this is one of them. Not only do we have sacred cows of contradiction in the conservative movement, we have also the number one sacred cow, and this has become the identifying contradiction of the entire Christian community, or much of the Christian community, not just the conservative movement, but certainly the conservative movement, more importantly, the Christian community, is that our entire Christian and conservative identity stakes upon our loyalty to one nation. In what world? In what world is this remotely appropriate? In what world is it remotely appropriate that certain Fox News conservatives of the Scott Presley variety, I don't mean to keep getting down on Scott, but it just bothers me because, again, we're on the verge of a constitutional crisis where our Rhino Senate won't pass the SAVE Act, and we still aren't even sorted out about whether we should be voting on the same day because the whole paper ballot same day thing doesn't look like it's actually going to come to fruition. So should we vote early? And early voting's already started in some places, but I thought that's how they rigged the elections. In fact, I thought China rigged the 2020 election. But now we're all palsies. So President Xi's my boy. We're friends. The Chinese people, they're great people. You know, President Xi's a great leader. I thought he stole the election in 2020. Which one is it? Which one is it? Did President Xi steal the 2020 election, or is he our friend? There is a global intifada. It's not all the Jews or Israel. It's not all Islam. It's mostly us, American citizens, who have become cucked and cowardly. But there is a global intifada. And you know who funds the global intifada? It's all of us. All of us who want the convenience, who want the benefits of radical materialism and consumerism and the advancement of technology, the rapid rise and advancement of technology. It's us that fund the global intifada. Because every time we give our money to Apple, and I've done it myself, but at least we're speaking out about, we're trying to slow the momentum of the avalanche. But every time you give your money to Apple, and Apple gets its core components from China, and China gets their oil from Iran, so they funnel cash to Iran, and sometimes every once in a while we send some pallets of cash just to the front door and say, here's the cash. You want to kill us? Here's the cash. Here's the cash to kill us. You know, we give it to the Emiratis and the Qataris and the Saudis and the Jordanians and the Egyptians, and it's all in the name of peace and business, you know, trade. economic security, the Strait of Hormuz. We got to open up for everybody else. We don't need the oil, but we have such an interconnected global market and our global dollar, right? Because we have a global dollar. Our dollar is global. Our number one export, by the way, for a sovereign, independent nation, our number one export is our currency, upon which all other nations finalize their transactions. And that's not a matter of national security in and of itself. Because when you really think about it, how are people who are so expert, I mean, PhDs and philosophy and sociology and politics and economics and, you know, quantum physics and whatever the fuck else. How are all these people? I'm sorry if I'm not even supposed to be cursing this on the show, Alex. I apologize, but they got me riled up this week. I mean, we're on the brink of losing freedom for good. I mean, we're marching right towards the Terminator scenario where humanoid robots are going to teach our kids. Thanks a fucking lot. So how is it that all of these brilliant people, geniuses, constructed a global economy that's so fragile that we decided we're gonna hedge the entire thing on a 33 kilometer choke point? Does anybody think that's by accident? Honestly, ask yourself. These people are brilliant. I mean, they can shoot a rocket into the sun. Let them tell it. I don't know if they actually are or not. I'm just saying. I mean, let's, for argument's sake, that they surely can make those B2. Those B2 bombers are real. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Those B2 bombers will come in and lay some rolling thunder in a heartbeat. And that is a modern marvel in and of itself. I mean, that is pure wizardry. So they can do that, but we can't construct the global economy of which we are so loyal to, the international rules-based order and the load-bearing walls of all of our interconnected markets. We left the entire deal to a 33-mile choke point outside the most radical regime in modern history, and you all think that's by accident? What is going on here? And oh, by the way, when people like me ask those kinds of questions, the distraction, the bait and switch, the three-card Monty is Royce White is actually a BLM plant. Really? I mean, really? Are you that desperate to cling on to the status quo? Are you that desperate for the tyranny of humanoid robots and surveillance and digital IDs and mandated vaccines? Are you so desperate for the convenience and security of tyrannical rule that the last people, the last bastion of watchmen on the wall who are sounding the alarm, you find every reason to discredit and say that they aren't who they prove that they really are? Even what I'm saying now, you see here, you see the and it's not going anywhere because President Trump represents something. He was touched by God. He has a divine appointment, but everybody who's touched by God and has a divine appointment doesn't fulfill their mission. Look at Moses, and Moses fulfilled a mission. But his mission in his mind of making it to the promised land didn't come true because God had other plans. And I hope President Trump is successful and in that figurative way makes it to the promised land with us. But maybe not. Maybe not. And if anything should happen, and let me tell you how wicked this is. I think that the narrative against President Trump has become so profound. If they were to actually assassinate him, if he pushed back against the corruption and pressure behind closed doors, we would not revolt. That they have done such a good hatchet job on President Trump writ large that they could have killed him out there in Butler. And I am concerned that we wouldn't have saw the type of response that we rightfully should. That the people's president, the people's candidate, despite what he's doing now, and I know I'm adamantly against boots on the ground. If we put boots on the ground, it's over. It's not just the MAGA movement is dead. The entire conservative movement, the right wing of American politics is dead. If we put boots on the ground. Because, again, rightly ordered love, rightly ordered charity. The Arabs, the Gucci Bedouin sons and daughters should die first on the battlefield in Iran. The European sons and daughters should die first on the battlefield in Iran before one American soul. It's even contemplated that one Marine's boots touch the ground there. But I still support President Trump. Because of what he represents, because of the courage it takes. Because of the courage it takes to step outside of your home, off your couch, to get off of your hands, stop twiddling your thumbs and actually play. Because I'm a sportsman, because I'm a warrior. There's a level of respect that you have to have for a man who was willing to sacrifice his life, even if for a moment, for the rest of us, because a lot of you are only willing to talk. And I know it. I know you're only willing to talk. A lot of you. A lot of you do a lot of complaining. You do a lot of armchair coaching. Oh, coach should have drew up this play. Why didn't you go to, you know, why didn't you go to Johnny, you know, with 10 seconds to go? Shut up. Shut up. What you don't realize is little Johnny was late to practice three times this week. Shut your mouth. What you don't realize is every time we call a timeout, little Johnny rolls his eyes. He's got bad body language. I didn't trust him to take the last shot. I don't care how good he shoots. I didn't trust him at the time. Well, I hope you trust me, Mr. President. You may not, because who am I? I mean, at a level, a leader can only trust the people who have history and who have been around him. I hope you trust some of the people now who have always been President Trump supporters versus some of these people who have always been subversives. Mark Levin, subversive. Anybody who talks about the international rules-based order is a fucking traitor. There is no international rules-based order. The rules-based order is the rule. The rule, not the exception, is that America is in managed decline, and the American people, the American working class, should foot the bill for the security and slow walk to the gallows of technocratic dystopia. That's the rule, not the exception. The rule is that the American empire, the American people, the American working class should foot the bill for the gallows we're being walked to. Pay for it. You pay for it. Are you feeling me out there this Sunday? Are you feeling me? Everybody out there, and I get people all the time. I listen to you on Alex Jones and InfoWars. I was in North Dakota and a man came up to me, he goes, I'm listening to you every Sunday on Alex Jones. Thank you, man. You're telling the truth. Thank you, sir. Thank you for listening. Thank you for not abandoning Alex Jones when they sued him for $1 billion. It's an infomnia. There's no more rule of law. There are no more rules. The rules are, there are no rules. We're going to make the rules up as we go. When it comes to the rules here in this country, when it comes to the rules all around the world, we're making the rules up as we go, and everybody better be comfortable on that ride. This is the rules as we go, rules on the fly ride. That's what we're on now, the rules on the fly ride. Well, guess what? One of the rules that I'm going to stress upon you is that if we're interested in winning electoral politics, we better get real comfortable. We better get real comfortable crushing this contradiction, these cultural wedge issue contradictions like our 1776 patriotism, our Christian ethic that we're only, you know, wait, you know what? It just hit me. The title of the episode tonight, there in the production room, the a la carte crisis, the conservative a la carte crisis. That's what it is. We have an a la carte crisis in this country and in this conservative movement. We want to be a la carte with the principles and then wonder why the principles always fail. They fail because they're a la carte. Royce White marched with BLM. They march with me. And I know that's hard for some people to comprehend that one man with big enough balls can make 10,000 atheists bow their heads and respect Christ. I know the idea scares you, but it's possible. The faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain, and I plan to. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. This is InfoWars, and I'm your guest host, Royce White. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us.
Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down, to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now, here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3, and it's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the Belly of the Beast. This is InfoWars Sunday Night Live. And, I've been a little animated this evening. And I usually don't get that way on Sundays. I try and keep it calm and mild-mannered. But, you know, some things just are too far. It's just too far. And we're tired. I mean, we're burning daylight. We know what's going on here. We're walking to the gallows. And the only question that remains is, and who's ignorant and who's in on it? Who's ignorant and who's in on it?
And it's a serious question, too. I don't say it for effect. Who's ignorant? Who's some of these things are so obvious, so common sense. Like, again, if you want to talk about electoral strategy where the Rhino establishment tells us that the milquetoast moderate Republicans have a better chance of getting Democrat swing voters or independents more than a guy who they claim is a radical BLM protester, what sense does that make? Who has a better chance? If we take a look at the anti-ICE protests and we say, well, on face value, who has a better chance of getting some, of swinging some votes there with some Democrats? Maybe the guy who helped organize peaceful protest after George Floyd died. And let's talk about George Floyd for a second. Oh, I know the audacity for me to go there. Let's talk about George Floyd. And I still remember in the days after George Floyd died, the great Rush Limbaugh was on air and said, this cop was dumb. It was just a dumb thing to do. Rest in peace to the great Rush Limbaugh. If you guys can believe it, I used to drive with my single mother after school and after school program into practice across town here in the Twin Cities, and she would have on talk radio. And she wasn't a conservative. She wasn't a Republican by any means. She's a Catholic, and she certainly believes in the difference between men and women, which is a lost idea, I guess, now in our political spectrum. But we're trying to, you know, reel that in. But anyway, you know, even in the 90s, when I was a young kid, I remember listening to Rush Limbaugh on talk radio. Maybe my mom was a closeted conservative. I don't know. I actually would never really talk to her about elective politics. We talk more broadly about ideas from history and culture and what is it? What is truth? Epistemology. How does one find the truth? How does one discern and measure truth? We talked about things like that. We didn't really talk about electoral politics, but I remember Rush Limbaugh being on the radio, and I remember after George Floyd died, Rush Limbaugh saying, this cop was dumb. Now, maybe he spoke preemptively without all of the facts, but he was making an important point, and I want to make it again here tonight. Because George Floyd's another one of these, like, iconicized moments in American culture that we've picked sides on. And back to my earlier motif about cops versus civilians and our obsession. You know, our almost cuck-like obsession with the rule of law and law enforcement in the conservative movement. My great-grandfather, like I said, was one of the first black cops to walk a beat in the city of St. Paul. I got no categorical problem with the cops, and I damn sure don't think they're all racist or the other ones of minority race are sellouts. That's stupid. We need cops. We need more cops. Give us more cops than criminals. We'd probably have a better country. But that doesn't mean I'm going to blindly follow them or obey them or have some type of fealty or loyalty to them either. Point being, can we settle this George Floyd thing once and for all? Can the hatchet man from the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, be the one to bury the George Floyd hatchet once and for all? Okay. Derek Chauvin was wrong for what he did. That doesn't mean he was guilty of the crime he was convicted for. It's a very simple, but very controversial point to make. He was wrong for what he did. That doesn't mean he was guilty of the crime he was convicted for. When people watched that video in the first days or hours after the video surfaced, much like with Alex Pretty or Renee Good, I think the George Floyd situation was much different than Alex Pretty and Renee Good, but certainly a predicate. When we watched that video, people were outraged because it appeared that law enforcement or that the state had transgressed its power, had, you know, overstepped its bounds. And what are those boundaries now? I always bring people back to the scripture of the great St. Paul for all of my Protestants out there that want to go to a war a world away for Israel on behalf of their Christian theology. Let's remember the great St. Paul, who was being accosted, who was being assaulted or roughed up by the centurion guard. And St. Paul stopped the centurion guard in his tracks when he said, am I a Roman citizen? Do you have the right to bind and beat a Roman citizen who has not yet seen his day in court? And let us never forget that the rule of law led to the crucifixion of Christ. The rule of law of both the Roman Empire and Israel led to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. that our rebellion against the rule of law of the great British Empire is why we have a country today. So the rule of law is the rule, but there are exceptions. Oh, there are grand exceptions to that rule. Do you have the right? The great St. Paul says to the centurion guard, do you have the right to bind and beat a Roman citizen who has not yet seen his day in court? And the idea of Roman citizenship was so strong in the time of Christ and the apostles that the centurion guard actually stopped. He stops in his tracks. He goes, wait a second. I'm violating the rights of a Roman citizen. I could be killed for this. We've lost that in this country. We have a Roman Republic based Senate, do nothing Senate. So we like to play as though we're a Westphalian civilization, but yet we forget very important Christian ideas and the connection between Christianity and citizenship depicted there in the Gospels, in the scripture, by a person like St. Paul, who draws a clear line that not only am I a Christian, not only am I a follower and an evangelical of Christ, but I also understand the value and importance of citizenship, even Roman citizenship. Am I a Roman citizen? Do you have the right to bind and beat a Roman citizen who has not yet seen his day in court? And when we watched that George Floyd video, the animating anger and fear was that. And then the left, being the wizards that they are of propaganda, organized that frustration and fear, and they aimed it. They displaced it on a target unjustly, dishonestly. And we all have to be able to make that distinction, that the fear and the frustration with what we saw on that video was right. But the weaponization of that fear and frustration was misused, was manipulated, was targeted unjustly. And so you break the situation down even further. You say, was Derek Chauvin wrong on that day? Yes, he was wrong for what he did. But does that mean he's guilty of a crime? And the answer, in retrospect, which is what most judicial processes should take into account, it should look at the facts after the fact, should look at the evidence after the fact and try and deduce a reasonable and rightful or righteous verdict. You cannot say beyond a reasonable doubt that Derek Chauvin, I'm not really sure how to pronounce it, I apologize, that his actions on that day were the sole cause of George Floyd's death. In retrospect, you have all sorts of other all sorts of other circumstances there with George Floyd that could have reasonably played into him dying. He had COVID, allegedly. He was COVID-19 positive. He had coronary artery disease, a 90% blockage in one of his coronary arteries, which, you know, at his age is exactly why RFK Jr. is trying to take a hatchet to the medical industrial complex and the food supply in this country. But we'll save that for next Sunday. He had coronary artery disease, and he had fentanyl in his system. Three things that on any day combined could kill you alone. Certainly, on any day, COVID-19, which, by the way, I had COVID-19. I'm not from the wing of the movement that says the entire COVID-19 was a scam. No, the real scam, the real crime was that virus was manipulated. That virus was manipulated through human technology, gain of function. And so when I was, had COVID, it definitely felt different than any other flu I had ever had. Now, some people probably got a flu and maybe tested positive for COVID-19, and it was just a flu. It wasn't COVID-19, and the testing was probably off. But I can tell you from my own personal experience, what I had was significantly different than any other flu I'd ever had. Now, I took ivermectin and I took Dr. Pierre Corey's protocol, who, by the way, was one of the physicians that did the final autopsy on George Floyd. A lot of people wouldn't know this, but on my podcast 2 years back, Dr. Pierre Corey talked about being one of the people who who, gave an opinion on the autopsy of George Floyd after his death. And he said that what Derek Chauvin did, you could reasonably say, contributed to George Floyd's death. Doesn't mean he was solely responsible. And that's such an important distinction to make. I can't tell you how important that distinction is for us culturally in the court of public opinion, but certainly in a court of law. Yes, what he did was wrong. Was what he did solely responsible for George Floyd's death? I don't think beyond a reasonable doubt. And even furthermore, in retrospect, the comments that the governor and the mayor made publicly about the incident made it almost impossible for that officer to have a fair trial in this jurisdiction. And we let that slide all the time because we're cucks for the rule of law. In the conservative movement, we are cucks and cowards under the shadow and boot of the rule of law and a corrupt justice system. So we let that slide all the time, that public officials or elected officials or governing, people, individuals in government could make public comments that could taint a jury or the quality of a case. We let that slide all the time. So I'd be in favor of reopening that case, but it doesn't mean what he did was right. What he did was wrong, because if you go back to that day and you go back to that 8-minute video of George Floyd, had he simply lifted George Floyd's body from the face down position and put him back to the cruiser, sat him up straight back to the cruiser with his hands behind his back, and he had died, if George Floyd had died sitting straight up against the cruiser with his hands behind his back, there would have been no protests. There would have been no case. There would have been no prosecution. There wouldn't even be a George Floyd story to talk about today. And that's how fine, that's how narrow the margin of error is for things that shape our entire concept of reality. It's profound. If you're not tough enough, it would bring you to tears. It would start to fracture your mind, and people have trouble. That's why they just shy away from these types of conversations, these deep dives into the details and nuances. That's why a lot of you couldn't have hung with the St. Thomas Aquinas, the doctor of the church, because the meticulousness of the detail is the exercise. It is the fruit. When they say trust the process in sports, it's not only the results, it's the process itself. When you are conditioned in deep dive into the details and nuances like Alex Jones, you can prophesize. Amen. Amen out there. I'm in the studio alone, but in my mind I hear people in the audience who understand the spirit of what I'm trying to say. So amen. Amen to that, brother, patriot. Amen. We better start to find some discipline in the details and distinguishing between the fine details of a given situation, a narrative, a culture. We better get real disciplined about the details or we are doomed. Because rest assured, it will be the decay of culture for a lack of nuance and details that will lead to our destruction. Is everybody comfortable with that? With the George Floyd piece? I know a lot of people on the left aren't going to like it. I know a lot of people on the right aren't going to like it. And that's on purpose. That's by design. He was wrong for what he did. If he had sat George Floyd up, there wouldn't even be a George Floyd story to talk about, because had he died sitting straight up, not in the face down position with his hands behind his back, people would have been frustrated. They would have been angry. And the radical left, who uses every situation where a cop's involved with a black man, would have still tried to use it to say this cop is guilty of racism. But that dog wouldn't have hunted. The fact that he did keep him face down with his knee on his back, that decision in that moment, which is a very difficult situation to be in, but nonetheless, he was still in it. That moment has led to a divide and a rift that now is used against me. And I tell you this, if there are few patriots in this country that can put their medal up against anybody, I pledge my medal. I pledge my medal to that weighing. I pledge my against anybody. anybody, because you show me the man across this country that's brought into a back room with the Jewish lobby of the NBA and told, you have a choice. You can take the $100 million or the couple $100 million, or you can keep running your mouth out there in the media and talking about corporatocracy and mental health. You pick. You can be broke or you can be rich. You can be famous or you can be laughed at and mocked. You can be a star or you can be a nobody. And even back then, I told the late David Stern, God rest his soul, but I told him with no fear, you're going to die before me. You have to go to God before me, and you have to live with that. And you have to live with the results. You have to live with those consequences. And I'm here now, and he isn't. And I'm on the rise, and I will continue to climb up in this country, maybe one day all the way to the White House. Maybe we'll get the first real black president in this country someday in the near future. Somebody who's going to actually take the deep state down into the basement and piss on their shoes. The question is, would the conservatives even take a liking to that sort of thing? Or would you say, that's so vulgar. That's not statesmanlike. No president of the United States should be pissing on anybody's shoes, even if it's the deep state traitors. And I get the sense that's where we are in this conservative contradiction. You say you want things to change. You say you want somebody to represent you. You say you want somebody tough enough to take on the left or the right or the up or the down or the Muslims or the Shiites or the Sunnis or the whoever else. You say you want somebody tough enough to take these people on, but when you really see it, when you find a person who's willing to fly off the handle and use a few profane words, you say, that's not Christian enough. Well, really? Oh, so it's not Christian enough to curse the deep state and the traitors of this country, but it's Christian enough to let homosexuals lead the voting initiative. I know that doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. And you know what else is funny about it? The entire Christian motif now is being used to undermine that this is the final stage of contradiction in American culture. It was always going to be Christianity that was weaponized against us. That's not a surprise. It's not a shock. While it was Christianity that pulled me towards President Donald Trump and the MAGA movement, because in some strange world, I woke up one day and being Catholic was persona non grata. That's why I wasn't even smart enough to realize the political implications of being in front of the Fed with 10,000 leftists and saying, bow your heads in prayer. And they bowed their heads. But when I think back now, I saw a few of them, you know, they kind of give the one eye. You know, some people, some of y'all do it in church. Don't act like you don't. You know, some every once in a while, you know, you kind of give that one eye and see what everybody else is doing. Right. We've seen it before. We caught each other before in church. You can kind of look and just to make sure, you know, see what's going on. Some people aren't comfortable that long with their eyes closed, right? So some of them were doing that, but for the most part, they bowed their heads and prayed, and they bowed their heads in respect, or at least they bowed their heads out of deference to the moment. And, you know, none of them yelled out, Christ isn't real. Jesus isn't real. God isn't real. Although they may have thought it. They may still think it to this day. They didn't yell it. And you know why they didn't yell it? Because they knew I was serious as hell. They knew I was serious about it. They could sense the aura of leadership and toughness and grit and something you conservatives don't have. I had somebody say, basketball is a kid's game. Well, what kind of work do you do? Ask yourself that question. Because if the measure of work is manual labor, sweating by the toil of your brow, as the scripture says, ask yourself what kind of work you're doing. What's closer to real work, toiling by the sweat of your brow? Professional sports? Basketball, where you have a grueling, grueling physical requirement? Let's not even talk about mixed martial arts, my second sports career. Because a lot of you wouldn't go last 20 seconds in a steel cage. I mean, let alone in a street fight. You're not even built like that. You don't even have the mentality mentality to manifest violence in that way, especially not with your own bare hands. You may go for your gun, and that's easy. I mean, it's just as easy for a white man and a patriot to go for his gun as some young black crook who, you know, somebody just stepped on his shoes, or he's disrespected, or whatever the case, you know, slept with his girlfriend, or whatever the case may be. Everybody can go for their gun. Who can throw down the weapons and go mano y mano, bare hands, bare knuckle? And I bring that up because there is a toughness and a grit. Not only have we lost, but we reject, we hate at a sort of spiritual level. And it's reflected in our sensitivity around language. And the Christian community is used against this country at every turn. Every turning here, when President Trump came down the escalator, it was, oh, President Trump, he's not a conservative. Then it was 2020, President Trump, locker room talk, he said, grab him by the, and then here in 2024 is E. Jean Carroll and, you know, what Stormy Daniels and whatever. I mean, at every turn, they tried to use Christianity against the conservative movement to say we doublespeak. And you know what's wrong with it? We do. We are double-speaking, tongue-twisted Christians. Because we're not willing to acknowledge the fundamental of our own Christian faith is that we're all flawed. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. None of us are without sin. Only Christ himself. And under those auspices, we can bring people from the left or who don't believe into the house of the Lord for the grace, for the teachings, for the gospel, for the evangelism. We can bring them in. Doesn't mean we have to let them lead the church. And that goes for the Catholic Church as well as the Protestant Church. The Catholic Church much, much more guilty in my eyes because I'm a Catholic. And I do think that the Catholic Church is intended to be the one true church and the one light. And when it's corrupt and not properly ordered, then, of course, the rest of the Christian community won't be properly ordered. And who's going to come out and condemn Israel today for the Catholics not being able to go to mass for the first time on Palm Sunday since the Muslims controlled the region? I'll do that. I'll do that here on Sunday. I'll do that here this evening. I apologize for my profanity, but I think it's needed. I think it's necessary. I mean, I think we're in for a war here that we are not ready for. We understand it's coming. We feel it. We feel the impending doom. We have the intuition of the stakes, but I don't know that we have the toughness and grit and the clarity or the discipline of details and nuance to really walk across this Rubicon. I don't know that we do. I pray that we do. I'll continue to pray that we do. I'll continue to be a watchman on the wall and advocate that we find that discipline for detail and nuance, that we understand, yes, Derek Chauvin was wrong, but he may not have been guilty. But nonetheless, all of us Christians and conservatives have to take an accounting of our loyalty to a thin blue line in the wake of, in the shadow of a rise dystopian technocracy. Next Sunday, and I'll save this for next Sunday, we'll see what happens during the week, but next Sunday, we'll talk about the proposition of humanoid robots teaching our children. Have you people lost your minds? The answer is obviously yes. Have a great Sunday evening. I'm your guest host, Royce White. This was the Alex Jones Show on Sunday Night Live. God bless you. Godspeed. Godspeed. God bless America. See you next time.
Let me do this. The folks at Bigley, about 7-8 months ago, came out with this top-of-the-line Faraday cage backpack with all these special pockets, super high quality. I'd previously bought a bag for myself personally like this, similar brand, $400 or $500. The problem was they only got 500 of these. Well, guess what? They got a couple thousand of them finally in. It took 7-8 months. It's a $600 value, just the bag, for $249. But guess what comes in it? America First Faraday bag, America First Tactical Trench Knife. It's badass. America First T-shirt, MK Ultra Atomic Defense Supplements, Shilajit Gummy, Shilajit Capsules, Irish CMOS capsules, Warcry premium product, and more. And VIP members get it for $199. Also, as you can now read in the newspapers, the Texas receiver is saying he's not going to pay the rent or the bills. So you ask, when are we going to shut down? Tomorrow? 2 weeks from now? I'm going to just wait till the lights turn off, okay? You'll probably see InfoWars go down the site. You see streaming shut down. Once we can't do it, we have the All Shows Network built at Biglione's, and I'm going to go over and do it there. But I'm going to ride this horse till it dies. I'm going to ride this race car till the engine blows or the wheels come off. Or I crash into the embankment. I ain't giving up. I'm riding this horse till I win or I lose. And then the media's like, oh, he's finally going to lose. Oh, yeah, all right. I am the InfoWar. Our listeners are the InfoWar. And we got a whole line. Here's the first one of a limited edition Veterans of the InfoWar t-shirts. Look at this. This is badass. And it's the troops on Iwo Jima raising the American flag with the InfoWars patch where the stars are. InfoWars lives forever. It is an amazing limited edition shirt. Look at that bad boy. And it funds this operation, but also the Alex Jones Network to keep us on the air. We need funds. We want to get more reporters back and expand. But we need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.